Oh, One of the Swats has reported that you won't be able to attend today. Then he has got a commitment. Honorable Yungani will join us. Well, we have welcomed Advocate Dennis. He has indicated to me that he will be staying with us through. Honored members, we have the draft report. There's also another document from National Tourism. They are trying to explain the situation in the Free State. This report here seems to be different from the report that we got from the National Department. I don't know. So there's another input by FSC on RILC. But maybe what you would need to do is to go through the court and then would fit the court where they fit in. Would I be right just to ask Seppo to read it through? Okay, I assume that is fine. Page by page, yeah. Okay, sure. Okay. Page. Should I start at 2? Oh, I'm starting 2?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
The allocations of the Division of Revenue Bill for the 2030 Medium Term Expenditure Framework. The 2030 Rate of the Nation addressed by its excerpt.
He is starting with paragraph 2. Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Thanks, Chair. By His Excellency President J.G. Zuma outlines South Africa's program of action which serves as the basis of the 2013 budget held by the Minister of Finance, Mr. P. Gordhan. The President emphasized that the 2013 program of action will be implemented differently as the activity of departments must be aligned with the National Development Plan. The National Development Plan outlines the vision for the country for the next 20 years and contains proposals for tackling problems of poverty, inequality and unemployment. It is a roadmap by which the country seeks to build a more equal society. The plan recognizes emerging policy imperatives which have implications for planning and budgeting, such as the rapid pace of urbanization, the need for the economy to absorb the increasing number of the young unemployed, and imperative to improve the quality of education and expanding training opportunities. The National Development Plan will shape resource allocation for the next 2 decades, but will not determine annual budgets. In the short term, National Development Plan's focus areas are improving their capacity through the strengthening of performance accountability of head of departments and line departments, expanding public employment programs, accelerating land reform, establishing regular recruitment schemes for the public service and local government, and implementing employment incentives. Interventions for improvement in outcomes of the education sector include extending the early child development programs, introducing school inspectors, and addressing the deployment of excess teachers. That's the end of page 1. Let me just finish the last part of this paragraph. In the long term, the integration of the National Development Bank into government strategic and operational plans will improve coordination across government's policy priorities and budgets.
Any comments, honourable members? My comment is on... Oh,
Sure, I thought it would be better if you can just complete the whole point, point number two. But my comment is on the National Development Plan, and I discussed it.
The Minister of Finance says the 2030 national budget together with the revision of revenue bill, B2P 13 on 27 February 2013. The Constitution sets out specific criteria for the sharing of nationally raised revenue between national, provincial and local spheres of government. The division of revenue bill classifies schedules from Schedule 1 to 7 in order to divide revenue between the three spheres of government. Table 1 below provides the equitable division of nationally raised revenue among these three spheres of government. Point 1, main budget allocations. The main budget revised estimates has increased from 96.9 billion for the 2012-13 financial year. To 1.055 trillion for the 2013-14 financial year. This marks an increase of 88.108 billion or 9.1% from the 12-13 financial year. The main budget framework provides for average annual growth of 8.1% in the main budget allocations for the three spheres of government. For the 2013-14 financial year, national government allocated 47.6% of available funds after tax costs and the contingency reserve has been provided for. Provincial governments allocated 43.5% of available funds and local governments allocated 8.9% of available funds. The main budget for 2013 will remain within the bounds set out in the 2012 budget. End of page 2.
Thank you. Honorable Sen?
Yes, Jefferson, thank you very much. I just want to get some clarity on the NDP on the first page, where paragraph, the National Development Plan will shape resource allocation, but will not determine annual budgets, and in short term. While I agree that it will not determine annual budgets, but I think it will inform future budgets. It'll have to. Otherwise, you'll get the NDP sitting there and departments sitting there and not coming to meet each other. Then either one, then we haven't progressed. So I think somewhere we should say, but eventually will inform the budgets of national departments. The whole vision of the NDP must inform that.
No, you're quite right. I don't know, because the step where we had made this correction, actually, I thought that they would read the corrected version, but you're quite right. Because it is saying that, as it stands here, now there's a contradiction. It contradicts now the whole purpose of the NDP if it does not inform the annual budget. But thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. The second paragraph, the National Development Plan outlines the vision for the country for the next how many years? 20 or 30? 20. And then the National Development Plan, I thought that we keep the momentum, we have National Development Plan as the D as a capital.
Thank you, Comrade. Any other comments? Okay, let's go to page 3. That's now we'll read each paragraph.
2.2, national share of the nationally raised revenue. National governments allocated 76.920 billion of the nationally raised revenue in the 2013-14 financial year. National government share includes conditional grants to provinces and local government, general fuel levy share with metropolitan cities, debt service costs, and the contingency reserve. The main budget framework provides for growth in allocations for national government from 67.92 billion in 2013-14 to 791.822 billion in 2015-16. Government. Oh, okay, the entire section. Okay. Government is committed to job creation improvement in the labor market. The 2013 budget framework provides for growth in allocations for National Department for Employment Programs and Labor Services from a revised estimate of 11.332 billion in 2012-13 to 15.497 billion in 2015-16. The expanded public works program is to create 684783 full-time job equivalents in 2013-14. Expenditure on education, sport and culture for National Department of Government at an average annual rate of 12.1% over the medium-term expenditure framework period from a revised estimate of 83.097 billion in 2013, 38.616 billion in 2015-16. Focus areas in the MTEP for the sector include improving literacy and numeracy, reducing school infrastructure backlogs and implementation of the new sports plan. An amount of 7.2 billion has been reprioritized from the school infrastructure backlogs grant to fund establishment of new universities in the Mpumalanga and Northern Cape provinces, the community library services condition grant, and the education infrastructure grant. In the 2013 budget review, it is noted that there are many areas within the public sector wherein there exist severe capacity constraints that prevent the effective delivery of socio-economic infrastructure. Many infrastructure projects are characterized by poor planning, lack of project management capacity, and inadequate oversight. However, state expenditure on infrastructure has been rising over the years, and allocations to public infrastructure investment amount to 8 to 7.078 billion over the MTEF. The largest allocations are to state-owned entities, local government, and provincial government.
Okay. Any comments, sir? Yes, go.
Chair, I just wanted to find out on paragraph 1234, the last paragraph. It says, line number 1234. It says many infrastructure projects are characterized by poor planning, lack of project management capacity, and inadequate oversight. But I don't know. I have a feeling that you need to be saying now, of course we know that this is happening. What is it that needs to be done? I need to be a sort of reporter. What is it that needs to be done? We can't just say there is these things, we know they are there. What are we doing? What have we agreed upon what needs to happen on this? Because we did, you know, challenge the department to say, this is what we are expecting out from them. Unless I'm out for
that. Thanks, Tom. What we have done is this is a report that says this is the state of affairs. Right?
Mm-hmm.
If you go towards the end of the report, there are findings and observations.
Okay, we'll go there.
And there are recommendations as well in terms of the question that you're raising. What are we doing about this? What are we saying about that? For now, we're just giving the background, the information that is there that we received over the past 2 weeks. Okay. But are you happy?
Does it mean you're going to be coming out of the recommendation and all that? Because that is exactly what I'm saying. As much as we've observed this, we need to be saying what needs to be happening. So is it going to be taken, or is it there already? I'm just trying to understand.
Page 14, there are recommendations. But we're not going to look at the recommendations now.
Okay.
You can just flag, if you want to make a recommendation, you add a recommendation. When we deal with the recommendation, then you can raise whatever you want to raise.
So
we'll be doing that. But as far as the report is concerned, any comments on the report? Okay. On the same paragraph, the sentence continues, however, the state of expenditure infrastructure has been rising over years and allocation to public infrastructure investment is it amounting? I think it's either which amounts to or amounting plus over MTF.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that maybe we can correct the last sentence that says the largest allocations. Up to the state entities. what I'm trying to raise the honourable members is that this infrastructure bill or whatever you call it, some of the money there are, I don't know if are these monies coming from different infrastructure allocation from the department, but I guess some of the monies are raised by the entities themselves. Honorable Swin?
Yeah, Chairperson, you're right. Thanks. Because, you know, we always hear that the state is going to spend 800 and odd billion, but it's not direct expenditure by the state. It's borrowings and things like that. That the entities, I mean, 200 billion run by Telkom and, not Telkom, what's it called, Transnet and then Eskom and these guys. So however, state expenditure, maybe, on infrastructure, through, we can put maybe through the state-owned entity and departments, has been rising over the years. The state expenditure through the state-owned, through departments, it's direct expenditure on infrastructure by departments, but also expenditure by state-owned entities. So we can just put those two there. Then it's quite clear.
So we remove the last sentence.
And we can remove the last sentence.
Okay. Are we fine?
Yes.
Musa? No, sit there and comment. I want you to come. You can speak. Yeah, I can speak.
The point I wanted to add, that expenditure also includes public-private partnerships, maybe you can just add that.
If we're saying the state expenditure on infrastructure.
The expenditure
on infrastructure through state-owned entities, provincial and local government. I just want us to that sentence to give the context that the SOEs, they contribute as well, but fiscals contribute as well on that. How do we deal with that?
No, sir. I think the fiscus, if we leave it like that, is taking care of it. Because remember on the on that big book that they give all the year, you also have there in the borrowing, the levels of borrowing for which government will sign a guarantor for the SOEs to raise money for some of this investment, whereas infrastructure investment or various other. So it is already, in my view, is already taken care of if you amend your sentence like that. But there are too much end that we should either just have a provincial local government, provincial, local government, and public-private partnership. Take two out.
And there are questions to public participation. I'm not sure.
Okay. Okay. 2.3.
We can talk after over the years. Put a full stop and then start the new center. In that case, it's probably given to the infrastructure investment amount to that. But we don't have to that end. So we stop there. Yeah. We'll stop. Then the new center. Allegations.
It is the allocation. It is the allocation.
Okay. 2.3. Provincial share of national released revenue. Excluding conditional grants, provincial departments are allocated 337.572 billion or 35% of the available funds. The provincial equitable share allocation increases by 24.5 billion or 7.8% from a revised estimate of 313.016 billion in 12-13 to 337.572 in 2013-14. Over MTF, the provincial equitable share increased by over 40 billion from 337.582 billion in the 2013-14 financial year to 383.697 billion in the 2015-16 financial year. The provincial equitable share allocations include 2 billion in 2013-14, 2.2 billion in 2014-15, and 2.3 billion in 2015-16, which were previously part of the devolution property rate funds grant. The grant is being phased into the provincial equitable share in the 2013 MTF. The funds emanating from the grant will not be subject to the stipulations contained in the provincial equitable share formula. National Treasury reported that an assessment of the grant's performance in 2012 confirmed that sufficient progress has been made and provinces will be in a position in 2013-14 to take full responsibility for property rates with respect to property owned and deemed to be owned by provincial departments. For the 2013 MTEF, the provincial equitable share formula has been updated with data from the 2011 census. The impact of the updates on the provincial equitable share is to be phased in over 3 years. Table 2 is provided. And then paragraph just below table 2. Table 2 above shows the horizontal allocation of the provincial equitable share across all 9 provinces. As shown in table 2, for the 2013-14 financial year, KwaZulu-Natal province received the highest share of 73.59 billion or 21.8%, followed by Gauteng province with 61.37 billion or 18.2%, Eastern Cape province with 50.164 billion or 14.9%, and the Limpopo province with 41.361 billion or 3.3%. Provinces that received the smaller share include the Northern Cape Province with 9.021 billion or 2.7%, the Free State Province with 50 billion or 5.9%, and the Northwest Province with 22.754 billion or 6.7%.
Okay. Any comments? Honorable Matthias?
So on that last paragraph, those two sentences, could we not join them to have one to become one sentence rather than two sentences? Because the first sentence speaks to the formula which has been updated. In other words, the equitable share formula is now informed by the census 2011. And therefore, I think you should have said at the end, however, the actual budget, because the actual budget will then be affected over the period of 3 years. As they stand now, there is an issue. There's an issue between the two. If I were to sit in the provincial side, I would say my budget is now informed by the census 2011, which then means that the rural population, all the variables that you calculate in order to inform the budget, would have to inform the budget that the budget should be X, only on the sentence that is standing alone. So I was thinking that it's better to join the two to have one sentence rather than two sentences. I don't know whether it makes sense.
You referring to the last paragraph, correct, Mataka?
Yeah, this was... okay. Well, okay.
Would you set that end?
Yeah. Yeah, you can check out the beast.
I think those are correct. The above shows the horizontal allocation of the equitable share across all provinces. There are not many deals there.
Arganda.
Hello.
No, it's straightforward, very straightforward when you take out that this. Let's say table 2 shows the horizontal allocation of provincial equitable share across all 9 provinces. That's clear. But now when you say table 2 shows the horizontal allocation of the provincial equitable share across, it becomes a bit, uncomforting. Yes, Chair, because it's provincial equitable share. You're not starting, it's in the middle of the sentence, you're not starting by the provincial equitable share.
I was advised that the earlier sentence that we connected the two, the while would read better than end. I agree with that thing, not of this.
The reason why they said that I directly with Pelelan, it's advisable in written format to always have the word there before in any word, which is the provincial equitable share, which is a noun.
Amen.
So in the spoken word, you would remove the D, but given that it's written format, you should have that there in front.
Let's
go back to the one. Yeah. You're saying it's
not right there? The phrase ends by the word while the impact of the updated on provincial equitable share is to be phased in over a 3 year period, 2013 to 16. I'm advised that while is better than end. Easy to go. What do you say?
But why do you say why is correct? Okay, let's go
I don't know. That's not the right thing.
I think wise sounds better than why. We'll come back to it. Thanks, Chair. 2.4, local share of nationally raised revenue. Excluding provincial grants and the sharing of the general fuel levy, municipalities were allocated 40.5 billion or 4.3% of the national raised revenue in the 2013-40 financial year. The local government equitable share increased by 3.2 billion or 8.9% compared to our revised estimate of 37.373 billion in the 2012-13 financial year. Over the MTF, the local government equitable share increases by 9.626 billion from 40.582 billion in the 2013-14 financial year to 50.208 billion in the 2015-16 financial year. For the 2013 MTF, the local government equitable share formula has been updated with data from the 2011 census and the formula has been revised.
the impact of the updates and revisions on the local community equitable share is fitting over the next 5 years. 2.5 main changes to the 2013 division of revenue bill. The 2013 division of revenue bill introduced some changes when compared to the 2012 division of revenue. Revisions in the bill mainly account for specific policy adjustments as outlined here under. Should I start with that?
I thought you viewed 2.4 and that was complete.
Let us deal, honored members, with 2.4. Any comments?
Excluding.
I don't know if it's advisable to start a sentence with excluding conditional grants and the sharing of general municipalities' values. Huh? Oh, you changed it? Oh, in the previous one, I know that we... All right. Now, let's assume. Municipalities were allocated that. That's the statement we want to make. Excluding.
Main changes to the 2013 Division of Revenue Bill. The 2013 Division of Revenue Bill introduced some changes when compared to the 2012 Division of Revenue. Revisions in the bill mainly account for specific policy adjustments as outlined here under. Provisions to cater for the reform and strengthening of various health conditional grants, open packet infrastructure grants and national health insurance. New grant created, the Health Facility Revitalization Grant. Through the merger of three previous grants, which become the new grant components, open bracket health infrastructure grant, hospital revitalization grant, and nursing colleges and schools grant. Any shares between a grant component, limited, open bracket limited to the same province, closed bracket needs to be collected. Open bracket as the new, as per new section 7, subsection 3 of the bill, close bracket. Our new grants in the health sector are the National Health Grant and the 2014 African Nations Championship Health and Medical Services Grant. The National Health Grant indirect grant can be converted to a direct grant with a province health proven capacity. New section 20 subsection 1.4. Provinces will be required to submit funding proposals for their infrastructure grant allocations in the education and health sectors 2 years in advance. A set of green prerequisites and criteria will be used to evaluate each province's infrastructure for the proposals. Section 13 strengthened and section 26, subsection 4 added. Submission of monthly provincial report on provincial expenditure of supplementary provincial infrastructure grants in format prescribed by National Treasury. Section 9, subsection 1D. Human Settlements Development Grant and Public Transport Operations Grant to reallocate funds when human settlements and public transport functions are assigned to selected metros. The human settlements function may be assigned to specific metropolitan municipalities. Open bracket started to obtain level 3 accreditation, close bracket, beginning in 1st July 2013. Additional clauses to section 16. The public transport contracting regulatory function may be assigned to specific metropolitan municipalities subject to meeting conditions outlined in the grant framework. Additional clauses to section 16. Municipalities receiving urban settlement development grant to report that these measures defined in their self-delivery and budget implementation plan. Section 11 strengthened. Existing infrastructure grants may, subject to approval, be used by provinces and municipalities for the recovery and rehabilitation of infrastructure damaged by disasters. Section 19, subsection 4 added. Provision has been made to enable national transferring officers to still enforce conditions in previous Division of Revenue Act and conditional grant frameworks until new act is promulgated. Section 27, subsection 1 is for 2013-14 and section 27, subsection 3 is for 2014-15 onwards. Framework for providing exemptions on any condition in Act or conditional grant frameworks. Exemptions subject to cannot be implemented in practice, impede achievement of any objective of this Act, or undermine financial viability of affected national or provincial department or municipality. Section 36. Provisions made to improve linkages between sections. Sustaining payment schedule and transfers with health. Section 70, subsection 2. National Treasury to determine approach for payment schedules with respect to indirect grants. section 22, subsection 3D.
Okay. Honourable member?
Chair?
Yeah,
the second line, new grant created, comma. New grants created are.
Where are you reading now?
Second line, new grants.
Page 5.
No, yeah. Page 5, second sentence on the top. New grants created are the health facility revitalization grant. That's.
Page 2.5.
Or include. New grants created include. The health facility.
I don't see that. Where is that coming?
Second sentence. Second line. First bullet.
Page 5.
It's got new grants created, comma.
Okay. Well, you say now, what is the question?
New grant, you see we're talking about grant, the different types of grants.
Yeah.
And the first one is the health facility revitalization grant. So we can maybe say new grants created include.
Okay.
That through the measure of that, and then next one is other new grants.
Yes, sorry.
That sentence started the new grant. I think we should start it with the new grant. I think the new grant. Because you mentioned it.
Hey, the new grant, yeah.
Now the other grant now, on the second bullet, the National Health Grant. Okay. Grant created include.
my little, the new grant created is this through the manner of the three previous grants, that the three grants are mentioned, which is infrastructure, revitalization infrastructure, and the college one.
Sorry, let me just rehash, or can you rehash what you were saying? The new grant created?
The A new grant created is.
A new grant is created.
A new grant created is, and that's the name of that grant. And which is a measure of three previous grants, and those three previous grants are mentioned in brackets. It's just an A and an E to be added.
It's not a new grant, it's the new grant. We know the name of this grant.
As long as it's
we know the, it's not just another grant, it's the new, it's this grant that is created. But,
as long as also.
Mm-hmm. I think Honorable Shifo is correct to say is health facility, then remove the comma there.
Ah.
Yeah, then it makes sense. The new grant created is Health Facility Revitalization Grant through the nature of three previous grants. Blah, blah, blah. And you're done.
Okay.
No, I mean, I still want some clarity.
No clarity.
No, I'm a little bit confused. Yesterday we were debating to say there's no thing. I was just saying yesterday we were saying to President there's nothing that is going to be taken to municipality, direct grant to municipality out of Schedule 5. Now I'm trying to understand the human settlement, urban grant. You know, I don't need clarity around that to say where does it fit in, because we said it's not going to happen. Because you can just see this section 16, what are section 16, section 11 say? I just, so that we can be clear to say what we agree. We may be agreeing, the next moment we agree with the same thing that says that one. So I'm just saying, can you clarify to me, because I'm now becoming more confused.
Maybe we have not, you're right, we have not made mention. I think the grants that were being mentioned are the new ones. Yeah, but I think that you're raising an important point. Where is Cobra Mpolo? I think you're raising an important point that it's important to flag that real clear, because we are proposing, we have made a specific proposal to deviate from the original, what you call. I think it's important to mention it here in this context.
Yeah, to say what we agreed upon yesterday.
Ramadan, why not your eyes? You're questioning what I'm saying. Do you have a different comment? Well, okay.
Oh, it's a new Zali now. Yes,
Kurt. What we said yesterday was that we want to see status quo.
Yeah.
So maybe at the end of this bullet we can say that, because it's different from what is contained in the inter-draft Adora. So we could then say, and I think wasn't it the RIC?
Yeah, the RIC.
We could mention it specifically there that our views are the status quo remain with the RIC as it is, pending, of course, the review process that must be inclusive. That's what we said. And it must be treated as, I think it's at 6B.
Yes.
Or we can simply just state it that this grant would remain a 6B for the meantime, and not open a grade in a sentence.
Yes, it's very fine.
What is the condition?
It should be a recommendation.
The main changes.
No, but the man for the call somewhere.
Yes, I think
slotted under that section as a last bullet so that they don't disturb the format of the document.
Yeah, I think we're just giving the facts for what they've done. We were talking about the main changes.
Okay.
And we should talk about the about Rig. But we shouldn't say what we feel. We're talking about main changes to 2013. One of the main changes is the way they're re-looking at Rig. We're not expressing, we shouldn't be expressing a view yet. We're just stating what the changes are. And later on we express a view on the recommendations or conclusion or whatever that, hey, we don't agree with this.
If we don't put that full sentence, it won't create an impression that, it's saying we have the rural household infrastructure grant, then right in brackets, has been changed from a Schedule 5B grant to a Schedule 6 grant. Okay.
Okay.
through the division of revenue.
Yes.
Because maybe I go about losing concentration somewhere, because I'm thinking of some. I'd like to follow up on that, Honorable Success, because he says the changes as reflected here are as they are in the bill. So the REIT grant has been changed from Essential 7 to Essential 5, according to the Division of Revenue Bill.
Not changed to 60, we want to change. From the
6B,
it's been changed from
6
to
5,
is it?
From
7? Yes, 5B is the old Schedule 7.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so it's from 7 to 5. To 5. That's how it's issued, actually. But until it's out of our recommendation.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's to say, Advocate Jenkins, then as it ends, would like your guidance in terms of because that's where we are amending with Division of Revenue.
Yeah.
Chair, on the FFC, they make a statement here. When RIG was introduced in 2011 and until 2012-13, it was a Schedule 7 grant, administered,
yeah,
managed and implemented by DOHS for on-site sanitation and water facilities. So that's what it was. Right. Now, Treasury in this bill, they are saying, no, it should be a 5B. So that's the fact of the matter.
Yeah.
And then later on, we are saying, no, we don't agree with that. We're saying it should be a 6B.
Yeah, but that's what Treasury said. They have to say they are 7 is now, they call it 6B, it's no more 7. So we need to go to 6B. To say, and say, status quo.
Infrastructure grant, which was previously under Schedule, was a Schedule 7 grant,
mm-hmm,
and subsequently changed to a 5B.
A 6B.
Right. No, yeah.
Okay.
It was a 7.
It was a 7.
And they want it now to 5B.
Yeah. Yeah, we say nothing is going to change.
The rural household infrastructure grant, which was previously a Schedule 7 grant, allocation kind, has been changed into a Schedule 5B grant. But now, we change it from 5B to 6B.
We'll be recommending the change.
We recommend.
Our committee recommending the Parliament
and the
Treasury.
So,
we change it to a 6B.
Well, so you're saying that that should be in the recommendation?
Yeah.
Okay.
But this is a fact. We think facts of the changes that
they came up with.
Because I don't know.
No, Chair, even if they are in the bill, they say they've changed Schedule 7 to 6B. That's what they said. So we're saying we should stay at 6B. Nothing should be changed. But that is a recommendation. Here is just the fact that you are talking about to say this is what is happening now at this moment.
Okay. All right. So now it's fine. Let's move then.
Section 3. Here is on the 2013 Division of Revenue. National Treasury briefed the Committee on the 2013 Division of Revenue Bill. RSTEC was invited to comment on the 2013 DORA Bill with the Financial and Fiscal Commission and the South African Local Government Association. National Treasury emphasized the need to prioritize the attainment of efficiencies in resource allocation to strengthen service delivery. The fiscal framework shows that consolidated government expenditure was 1.15 trillion compared to consolidated. Government revenues of 985 billion. National Treasury expects the deficit to decline and narrow to 3.1% of GDP by 2015-16 as the economy improves and government expenditure moderates. National Treasury envisages that expenditure reviews will increase efficiencies and eliminate waste. The 2011 census outcome showed the complexities of the challenges facing the country. The population size has increased by 16% from 2001 to 2011. There are marked differences in population growth across provinces and regions. Furthermore, the number of households without access to basic services remains high at just over 4 million. National Treasury stated that interventions contained in the 2011-2013 Dorab deal seek to improve the delivery of basic services and infrastructure, including the introduction of the new local government equitable share formula that promotes accountability and measures to improve the effectiveness of infrastructure planning. The committee was concerned at the functionality and alignment of the roles of RRC agencies in relation to that of the planned chief procurement office. The Treasury pointed out that significant progress has been made in the process of setting up the CPO and that the new agency will make use of the expertise and functionalities of other agencies such as the South African Revenue Services. For example, SARS is currently auditing 300 business entities and scrutinizing over 700 entities. The Financial and Fiscal Commission submission welcomed the 2013 Division of Revenue Bill and was in general agreement with the main budget framework. The Commission stated that it supports the introduction of the new local government equitable share formula and resource and conditional grant frameworks. In particular, the FFT supports the consolidation of conditional grants in a manner that allows flexibility as per the new health facility revitalization grant. There was a need to increase the level of capacity supporting poorer municipalities. These are said to benefit from the revised local government equitable share through rising allocation. With regards to grant performance, the Commission was concerned at the poor expenditure performance of the National Health Insurance Grant and highlighted the need for urgent intervention to address the low spending. The Commission notes the conversion of the Rural House Infrastructure Grant RIC into a direct transfer and pointed out the need for improvement in RIC's expenditure performance and reporting. The South African Local Government Association in submission welcomed the 2013 budget framework and viewed the budget framework as a support of improved municipal service delivery following the outcomes of the 2011 census. SALGA outlined some of its key interventions with regard to support municipalities, and this included the signing of pledges by municipalities to improve audit outcomes, the development of guidelines for credit controls, and the facilitation of finance orders in most provinces. With regard to funding for local government, SALGA welcomes the new local government equitable share formula, including the formula's provision for more frequent updating of data. SALGA notes the additional transfers of 7.7 billion to municipalities for expansion of basic services and infrastructure development. SALGA's main concerns were the need to update estimates of basic services for the 2014 budget, minimal growth in the municipal infrastructure grant over the MBF, and the need for an improved staffing driving infrastructure delivery in municipalities. The committee was concerned at the feasibility of successfully phasing in funding adjustments emanating from the outcomes of the census 2011, given existing infrastructure funding plans and salary cost structures for the provincial and local governments. Furthermore, the committee pointed out to the possibility that provinces that have had significant challenges in infrastructure planning in the past may be unfairly disadvantaged by the new infrastructure planning requirements. National Treasury stated that the budget will be fully assessed before any significant resource adjustments are undertaken. Furthermore, capacity improvement initiatives such as the infrastructure development improvement programs will be enhanced so as to ensure that infrastructure first meet prerequisites. The infrastructure reforms are aimed at promoting good infrastructure delivery management systems and complement existing capacity support. The committee emphasized the need to align the aims and objectives of the various conditional grants. For example, there were concerns that the alignment of the Neighborhood Development Partnership Grant with grant allocations earmarked for land reform and human settlements development. National Treasury indicated that the Neighborhood Development Partnership Grant sought to develop community infrastructure through partnerships and not aimed at dealing with the complexities posed by urbanization.
Committee is very thin today. Any comments there?
It's very slow, you know. Sometimes if you're missing that. So people have to reread it again.
Any comments on page 5?
Page 6. Excuse me.
Okay, you want to comment on phase two?
I don't have a comment specifically on this up to page 7, the middle of what ended.
I'm not sure, maybe Peter will assist me as well. On page 6, the first paragraph there, where we speak about the GDP, have we defined it in what GDP is in the paragraph before this? Because I can't seem to find it.
Mm-mm.
Because we've just used the abbreviation here, so I guess we can just put it, the gross national product, and then put it in profit.
Can I make a proposal, please, Chair? Maiden. It's 12 o'clock now. We've still got another 7.5 pages to go. We won't be done by 1, I doubt it. And then I don't know what Advocate Jenkins' schedule is like for one to attend another meeting of ours. Can we not maybe address the issues of shifting the grants or the amendments that we want to make, and then unpack that, and then we can continue with the report going through it in the manner that we are.
I thought that your proposal would say, why don't we go to findings?
That's what you say.
And then if there are comments generally on the report, we submit those comments, but let's together do the findings and the recommendations, because I don't know, we haven't applied to be away from the house this afternoon, but we have to finish the report so that tomorrow then the updated report can come back. Agreed? Okay.
Let's jump to page 13, then find it.
Come on. You want to assist with the reading? Find it.
Okay, so it's fine. On page 13, findings, paragraph 5, reads as follows. Having considered the 2013 Division of Revenue Bill and submissions made by various stakeholders, the Steering Committee on Appropriations made the following findings and observations. 5.1, the committee notes that planning is still underway in finalizing water infrastructure projects under the Municipal Water Infrastructure Grant. In addition, the committee was concerned at the readiness of grants projects to begin implementation by the beginning of the municipal financial year on 1 July 2013. 5.2, the committee notes the imperative for involving all stakeholders in the implementation of water infrastructure projects. The committee welcomes the readiness of the Sri Lankan Local Government Association to forge closer working relations with the Department of Water Affairs and rolling out water infrastructure. First point, the committee supports the aims and objectives of the new municipal water infrastructure grant as a policy instrument in accelerating access to water in impoverished district municipalities. The committee was concerned at the cost that accrue to implementation agencies. No, ministers, okay. The committee was concerned at the cost that accrue to implementation agents and how this can be minimized. venture, we should say implementing agents instead of implementation agents. 5.4, the committee notes the centrality of water services. The committee notes the centrality of water service authorities in the implementation of the municipal water infrastructure plan. The committee was concerned at the existing capacity and readiness of water service authorities to implement the municipal water infrastructure plan.
Can we just join that sentence by however?
The National Department of Health was experiencing challenges in ensuring that provinces met conditions stipulated in the constitutional grant frameworks. Provinces prefer to utilize their equitable share portions in implementing infrastructure projects so as to evade adhering to conditions in the conditional in the grant framework.
I agree with that, but I was just reading quickly and trying to remember. On the portion that deals with water, that's up to 5.4, I think. It reminded me, because when we had the second meeting with the department, including, I think Salga was also there, the question was posed in terms of this grant that is basically fragmenting on the water and sanitation. So intervention from the chair is that we have asked that question, and then yesterday, and we will get another response from them in terms of the written form to reply around this fragmentation and cost thereof. Now I don't know. Because that was a concern. It's part of this concern about the water that is separate from the sanitation. I don't know where, maybe you can help me. How do we bring that issue up? I don't know whether they eventually give us any written response. I think the gentleman wanted to know when, and we said, well, we finalize in the report, so whatever you're giving us as a response should happen before we finalize the report. So I thought that concern should somehow be captured, because I think the findings should deal with the issue about the separation that we see in terms of this particular grant and the effect of it in terms of the implementation, including what we dealt with yesterday here about functions being performed by the others, functions being pushed there, that you don't have an integration. That's a question I'm posing. Maybe you can help me with it. I'm battling to find why we have that in.
Linking these two grants was part and parcel of the bigger problem, which is the level coordination between the grants that are actually intended to provide the decent human settlement, which is your water sanitation, your INF, and your urban settlement grants as well. So the issue was around the coordination. I remember the MFC also raised it. It was saying there is really a challenge in terms of these grants, you know, to have them being well coordinated, then which poses a challenge in terms of implementation, because obviously people plan in silos. You have sanitation with mass equipment, water with water affairs, IMF with energy, and others. But if they, all these grants contribute to providing a human equipment.
Now, I think that the suggestion is just scroll up to 8 again. In the 8.
We should talk about rates there.
I saw something about rates. Where is it? Now, the one talking about rates is 10. The committee remains concerned at a persistent poor expenditure and first delivery performance of rural Now let's just put the congressman. Can you assist with that wording? The one that Honorable Ramakrishna was referring to. But I think that somehow we should be careful as well as to, I hear the question of fragmentation. Yesterday we said to human settlement, this grant that is now RIC will remain with you. We make the changes. Now, there's a new grant that the Municipal Water and Transport grant that we think that RIC should be integrated with. That's what we are proposing. The other one is administered by Water Affairs. The other one is administered by Human Settlement. Obviously, RIC is not performing. What are we proposing exactly? Your own thing that trying to flesh that we should just be careful just to ensure that we're raising the point that we want. I know that we're still grappling with the expenditure on RIC. So what are we saying? Do we want RIC and the municipal water and sort of grants merge, or what do we want? Congressman, you have your hand. Congressman Mashiko.
Chair, I think the problem of utilizing budgets, be they in the form of appropriation at a national and provincial level and their alignment and conditional grants, is a general problem. And that, I mean, this one is specific because we can see it's the word water and the infrastructure is dealing with sanitation, we assume it's water. But I think we need to be able to look at something else. How do we ensure that the various spheres of government align their budgets to be able to maximize the every rand that is raised through tax throughout the different spheres and between the spheres as well? And I think that's the problem, that the broader problem that we're grappling. This is one manifestation of that problem. Because the FFC was raising the point yesterday as well to say that there are a number of different grants throughout that they aren't speaking to each other, and there's a duplication of cost, and therefore you've got kind of a leaking bucket situation that's taking place. So it's something that I think we... It's not specific.
Take into account all those recommendations, but what are we saying now, Honorable Mashiko?
Sir, we were told that this municipal water infrastructure grant is a new grant that will be implemented in July. And it was targeting about 24 municipalities which are very, very impoverished. We did not have the list because the gentleman who was sitting there said he had those big documents that we could speak to. And then during our conversation, just that you don't know, Sangha, which they were cross with, said they were in their meetings all along. They were just shocked why they were saying they were anti it. And they said the only time that you could, it could be looked at was during adjustments. I don't know what it is, but what are we saying about it? Because water access specifically is going to target those 24 municipalities, and it will be linked with where possible, where there's water bottles, water bottles, where there's regional water, where there's, and where there's nothing, they'll use tankers or what. Because it was something that seemed to have been focused. And I think it was going to use, I don't know how many millions for the first year, but it was, it seemed to have been the 3 year project. But right now, it's something that is going to start being implemented in July. It was initiated last year. But I don't know what to say, to be thinking of it as something that is permanent. But we all know that we don't like this many new grants, but they told us that it's going to, it has nothing to do with sanitation. That's what they said. It's just water bus, and where there's nothing in those very poor areas, they'll consider tankers or what. Those are things, something to take water to that area.
I think that you raised another point on 5.3. Ne? Can we say the committee supports the aim and objectives of the new municipal water infrastructure grant as a policy instrument to accelerate access to water in the 24. All right, in the 24 impoverished district municipalities. At the point of but what I think that because we have a challenge of time frames, why don't we, this debate that we're raising is important. But for now, let us flag this observation of the fragmented grant or whatever we want to say. Or, Congressman Rantaran, have you got a waiting there with you? Now we'll engage the services of FFC as well. You got a waiting? Okay.
Part of good side of the committee note the poor linkages with other relevant infrastructure grants that are also meant to contribute to overall sustainable and livable human settlements, because that covers all the infrastructure related grants. Since there are many others that are not linked.
Yeah.
No. We don't want to change this current form. All that we want to do now is to bring in a new observation so that we can, it's just to flag it, so that we ensure that we don't forget it. Honorable Fulo?
I'm not so sure, but I thought that, remember when you started HP3, I asked a question to say, because you've realized that there's poor planning, there's a lack of project management, there's a lack of capacity, inadequate oversight. Because if we talk about those things to see what needs to happen, I'm definitely sure we'll be covered, even if we don't go one by one to each and every department, we'll be covered to say, in all the departments, this is what is lacking. And because of that, this is some of the things that makes us not to go forward. So after that, it is so that it can be a holistic approach to say, as much as you're going to emphasize on other departments, but this is the general happening that is happening in the department. Thank you.
Whilst I agree with you, I'm sure we all agree with what you're saying, that it's a problem that we have noted. But we want to flag this one down so that it doesn't get lost. The fact that we had a lot of discussion over the years. It has not performed, and we say now,
part of the problem is that of maybe coordination and what, but is that the worst thing that we want?
Chair, maybe if one just speak and then you can find how you put it into a paragraph. I think the concern that was raised is the concern that when you deal with the grant specifically around the question of water, there seems to be water that does not include the issue of sanitation. So there is no integration. Instead, they are fragmenting that. Now, normally in a fragmentation of that nature, you run the risk of the cost factor. You end up in a cost factor because you need to do the work twice in terms of that. Instead of having an integrated approach, what you then have, you run the risk of the alignment that is not going to be there, the non-alignment. And the next problem that you're going to have as a result of the non-alignment is going to result into a poor implementation. In other words, not going to see results and impact of it, because you're going to deal piecemeal approach. That fragmentation was, I think, was used, let's borrow it, that was used by the LFC. So in order for that, we then said, why is it that we don't deal with this thing in an integrated way?
Mm-hmm.
And that they couldn't answer. They said, well, they were not readily available, and that question was raised the previous day, and that they will give us something for. So I think we should raise as a concern from us in terms of the findings. We find that there is this degree of fragmentation, particularly when we look at the water and sanitation, that is, which the implication of it is what I've already referred to as the issue of non-alignment and the cost factor that we're talking about, which will result in a poor implementation. We won't be able to see the impact we are making with that particular grant. So,
Mr. Chair, the National Department of Health. Yes, sir, I've read it. 5.6. The National Department of Health has experienced delays in the expenditure of infrastructure budgets in provinces due to delays in the rollover process and non-adherence to conditional grant payments schedules by the Free State Provincial Treasury. The National Department of Health has experienced delays in the expenditure of infrastructure budgets in provinces due to delays in the rollover process and non-adherence to conditional grant payment schedules by the Free State Provincial Treasury.
Can I just ask what was in the head of the writer when he used the non-adherence, the word non-adherence? Because I find the words obscuring. The issue that we dealt with in the state is simply diversions of money that is meant for, which is a conditional grant, to defray the general expenses of government. We don't even know what that is. But they just put that money and they eat the money in the sense of implementing other things other than what it was meant for. Maybe they eat is the wrong way. They utilize this money for the purpose in which it was not meant for. So I just want maybe to be a little bit clearer when you write it so that we all understand what we're talking about. The non-adherence is very broad, nice language, nice English. But Free State utilized, in fact the Treasury was there, they said it's a problem. They haven't done anything about it because they need to report it through their normal routine. We now know that the health was in trouble there because they diverted the money for other expense, to defray other expense. Maybe we say diverting the money for other expense to defray other costs, it will read much better than non-adherence.
I don't know if you, Nasachar has since sent another input, you know. I'm not sure if we do have the copies where they say the Philippine Department of Health has projected to understand the budget for 2012-2013. This is mainly due to understanding in the program One Health, Facilities, Development and Maintenance, which specifically deals with infrastructure development. Further analysis indicates that the understanding mainly occurs under payments for capital assets amounting to 137 million, of which 115 million rand relate to understanding on building and other infrastructure. Now, I'm reading this because precisely of what Honorable Matagana is saying. We had the National Department saying what Honorable Matagana is saying. In fact, that something to the effect that Free State has asked that payments for contractors be deferred. Now, it gave us the impression that they're running short of budget. Now, not after I was there, they confirmed that day Mr. John Austin was there. They confirmed. Now, the issue with this statement again now, against that. So, in fact, if you recall, they indicated that there are problems generally across provincial treasuries. And I remember us saying, no, let's focus on national treasury, on the three states now. Gentlemen, then, Mr. Mpapudi said that national treasury is not paying. In fact, we forced national treasury to concede that a problem in the three states. Now, I think they are confusing us now by this note that they have sent. I don't know if you have seen the note. We have not seen it. Or can you organize copies? How many people who do not have this copy?
Four.
And how many? Four?
Four.
Nopus Kaos organized the Lamar copy. Because what I don't understand, that in a meeting, Napatrar is there, agrees with the department that that department is experiencing a financial challenge. They can't pay contractors. Now here they say that they are going to understand another state of Amkos.
Chair.
Sorry?
Chair?
Yes.
They were saying they will hold the money not to pay. Not because there is no money. They say they agree that they are not going to pay, they are going to hold the money until people can comply. That's what they say. No, Chair, I heard that they say. Are we talking about the Free State issue? Exactly. The Free State issue, they say the Department of Treasury in Free State has hold the money. They did not give the money out. They hold it until they can comply. Not to say there's no money. Then we ask them a question to say, as much as they are holding money, what about other things that need to happen? They need to be specific on why are they holding the money. Not just on sake of people.
That note, I don't see there much contradiction on it. Remember, what there was information that the Treasury in the Free State declared moratorium on spending.
Yeah, that's the word, thank you.
They said moratorium on spending
because
they were looking at their budget that they are going to overspend, they are going to have a deficit. So what they then do is to try and manage all the money in order that when it comes to the crunch, they can take that money and pay for that expense. And they said, therefore, that money affected health as well. because that moratorium was across the board. As a result, HAF could not do what it was supposed to do with this money, what 133 million. And Free State, I think it was about 200 million they mentioned. So they couldn't do it because they did this moratorium. And then I think National Treasury intervened to say there's no such thing as moratorium from National. But Treasury, from time to time, they declare how to deal with the money in anticipated over expenditure. Conceding that Free State has done that, not that there is a national moratorium on spending, but because of their internal budget problem. So what we then find, it is true, the finding that Free State health, it is not going to spend what it's supposed to spend because of that, because they're going to end up with the money, 200 million rand. And I think they were mentioning Mpumalanga and other provinces, but we're focusing on Free State. So when I read that, that one note, that I think what you're trying to do is to actually break down the amounts that were part of this moratorium that the Free State declared on general expenditure. So I think our finding, therefore, it will be in order if we talk about this 5.6, to come back to that point. And if we speak about the... Now, we don't know now where the money is, whether the money it was eventually used for other purposes, because the moratorium was for that purpose. So for our purpose here, what we probably have to say, it is that as a result of the Free State declaring moratorium on expenditure, there is this problem of underexpenditure. I think we should rather be careful of saying something that people are going to take us on it as not factual. So I think we should try to stick to what they told us in the meeting, that it is a result of the moratorium that was declared by the Free State government for internal, which then result is, but we are concerned about that diversion, because once we declare a moratorium that affects conditional grant, then there is a problem, because conditional grant must not be affected by the moratorium that is declared by Treasury. So I think that's what we need to say in terms of our findings, and that we will be, I think we will be safer if we write it in that generally around those broad lines.
Let's get then the wording right. National Department of Health will experience and challenges in ensuring that the provinces. We're on 5.6 now.
Yeah.
Well, okay, yeah, that's why I'm surprised myself. The National Department of Health has experienced delays in the expenditure of infrastructure budget in provinces due to delays in the rollover of process. The rollover is something else. This one, the moratorium, is something else. Yeah. Okay, to delay in the rollover of the due to delays in the rollover process and not adherence to conditional grant payment schedules by the Free State provincial treasurer. Is it the provincial treasury or health?
Provincial treasurer.
Okay, so then we can add there that the Free State has declared moratorium on
Free State provincial
treasurer. Is it further spending or payment?
Payment. Yeah, they could not make payment.
Yeah, which was not approved by the National Department.
there's something that it needs to be what you call as an entire percentage. Mr. Singh, another thing, what we're talking about that the national Department of National the National Department of Health was saying that the Free State provincial treasurer had declared a moratorium on payments for infrastructure delivery there. And we are saying that moratorium was not approved nationally by the national treasurer.
Now that I come in from the outside, that sentence doesn't convey that to me.
That's why I'm trying to explain.
It doesn't convey that to me. It says the payments were not approved. It doesn't say the moratorium was not approved. So someone will put a full stop and say the moratorium was not approved. Otherwise it says, please declare the moratorium on the infrastructure payments, which were not, infrastructure payments, which were not approved. It's not that the payments, but the moratorium on making the payments.
That's correct.
Sir, maybe for me, if I could even live with Ramos' non-adherence, even continue with the sentence, not finishing it, not making a full stop on the treasury, by simply saying that, because what we are saying, the non-adherence is as a result of the provincial government of the Free State doing something. The doing something is the declaring of moratorium on expenditure by department. So that's what they did, which then unfortunately affected even the things that they should not be affected by the moratorium. So I would continue with the sentence like that and make it a shorter sentence. It's a continuous sentence.
That reads
the action of which is the thing we're talking about is the provincial treasury declaring moratorium on expenditures by department. You don't have to say unapproved, because it's given the treasury in terms of their operation. They do have now from now time to time to say hold on expenditure because we're going to overrun their budget. But here we're already saying it's a non-adherence and conditional grant.
But I remember you asking a question that do they have a right to interfere in conditional grant?
They can't.
Sorry?
They should. The conditional grant is ringed.
Grant payment schedules by the Free State. Declaring a moratorium on infrastructure expenditure. I think that, I think you're right. Can you read yours? The National Department of Health has experienced delays in the expenditure of infrastructure in provinces such as Free State due to the moratorium declared on infrastructure by the provincial department. Sorry? I'm saying the National Department of Health has experienced delays in the expenditure of infrastructure budgets in the province, in the provinces such as Free State, due to moratorium declared on infrastructure expenditure by the provincial department.
Was it only Free State?
They mentioned Free State.
Yeah, so we shouldn't say such as Free State, we should say. Just be specific. It is Free State and Free State did this. So... No, he mentioned that. The chairman mentioned, but there it's not, it's correct.
Yeah.
I don't want to interfere with your process because there's a time where we will be very efficient to listen to the very important issues that we won't absorb anything that Advocate Jenkins is going to tell us, because it seems as time goes on and on, it's going to affect our report altogether, because we might be only a handful, let alone the parties present here, the impact on what, because it has to be in this report. And because after lunch, the chief whips of the different parties would like their members to listen to the fiscal framework debate.
In fact, you just anticipated a lot of, that's why I was calling down here, just to I just have to consult with them, just to understand that to what is the program in the house, because I wanted to propose that we have to finish this the report today. We stuck with the findings. We have not reached the recommendations. I wanted up to, I don't know, other than the fiscal framework, I'm not sure, but I wanted to propose that can we go to the house and then ask to be excused so that we can come and continue with this.
So,
with
all respect, I think
you want
to respect also the time of other people. I
think
this
man
is sitting now, he has
plenty
of
occasion. Now, that's the call. Jay, I'm just thinking you must also respect the time of this official that's here this morning. And you know, you're sitting now from before 10 o'clock here, from 9:30. Now my view is, if we know that we were busy like this, was it not possible that we went and call him or say, we will call you back at a certain time? I'm just thinking, you know, I don't think it is correct to let a senior person like Mr. Jensen sit here this morning and I think it's wrong. That's my personal opinion. I'm honest with you.
Let me just say, I don't think that is also correct for you, honorable member, if you want to address something like this, to address it the way you are addressing it. Because myself, you don't know what I've done myself, ne? And something I do, certain things, consultations sometimes, I don't speak to everybody because I don't think that I need to speak to everyone.
Because you know what? If I may share it here.
I allow you come to speak and finish. Because I don't like the way we are raising this thing. I've spoken to Advocate Jenkins. Earlier, I spoke to him. So, because not that I didn't realize what you're talking about, I did what you call. I would prefer that you come to me or send me a note. I mean, the way it comes across. So I have what you call spoken to him. There's Advocate Jenkins. I spoke to him earlier, and I asked him how much time he has. Can you, what you call, and then he agreed that you would stay with us. That's why I'm continuing the way I'm continuing, so that he can help us the way he has. Otherwise, I would not, what you call, be doing it the way.
Okay, I withdraw my words, but I think that if we have the management committee and we could discuss that before, then we wouldn't have that problem. Well, thank you, Chair. I accept your ruling, Mr. Card.
Chair, I hear you saying we should go to the house and come back, but I have no objection to that, but I want you to come back. I have a debate to make this afternoon, so I have to go and prepare for that. So, but I think if we have general agreement, those that are present will carry my support. I won't be able to be there. Now, I was just wondering whether we shouldn't deal with the legal question with respect to the amendment that we want to make, and and I would like to hear that. If it's possible, it is not possible to be dealt with later, I have no issue, but I think we all think the right to make some determination on the budget.
Honorable sir?
Yes, sir.
Chairperson, I think for most of this we are dealing with contextual issues, not really substantive issues. And I'm sure the researchers are getting a drift of what we are saying about the free states, you know, the moratorium and things like that. And maybe they can come up with something. I don't know if it can't be passed at tomorrow's meeting, because we're debating only on Thursday, scheduled for debate for Thursday. So it can be passed, because that's what the program says, that we're passing this tomorrow. But I think the substantive issue is the one on the amendment, you know, because the Act is quite clear on how we can and how we can't amend Section 9, 7, 9, 8 talks about amendment and going back to the minister and giving the minister time. So I think that's something that we need to consider if we want to get our 5B, 6B issue sorted out. How do we get that sorted out? Is it by negotiation or because this recommendation as is won't fly because we haven't followed the process. But then a legal person must tell us that. I think if we can move to a substantive issue and finalize the contextual issues tomorrow, we'll find.
Now, I don't have the proposal. Everyone seems to be saying that with that. But I guess when you say this proposal won't fly, you mean 6.5 recommendation?
Yeah, I don't think it will.
Yeah, 6.5 and 7.1. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. But I don't know if it's
going
to, you know.
But let's just then come to Advocate Jenkins. But is it possible that we can come back this afternoon or we defer it over to finalize the report tomorrow? But if we do that, it means that the request was... I know that we had not seen the report. That's why the case is so slow. We have not seen the report before. But I hope that then if tomorrow we can finish tomorrow, then there will be time to... Sorry? Yeah, I mean tomorrow we might even be quicker because anyway, we were not going to adopt it today. In terms of the rules, we can't adopt it today. I mean, yeah, we can only adopt it as from tomorrow, after the passing of the fiscal framework. So what I'm just asking from you, members, I know that there are apologies. So are we suggesting that we go to the House for the afternoon and then come there tomorrow? Haramashik.
I think we need other. I think that's the best idea because I can hear what other members say. Because we need to adopt it because we are going to debate and we don't know what will be said if we come here and we find ourselves being ourselves alone here.
You mean in the afternoon?
Mm.
Okay. Okay, then I assume that the proposal is that we postpone it until tomorrow, no? But we'll deal with that on a string for 5 minutes. Yeah, I'm just talking about the our work here. I'm not talking about... Yes, Advocate Jenkins, I don't know if you want to comment now about that proposal of, changing Rick from there. How do you go about it?
Good afternoon. Honourable Chair, Honourable Members.
So, I think the members are correct that you have been sitting there patiently from the morning. Would really like to apologize to keep this long. The members have not seen this report before because we're working under very tight time frames. We only finished our last hearings yesterday.
But I commend the people who put up this draft report to be ready for this morning. Okay, sorry.
Honorable Chair, with respect, no apology necessary. I'll get myself busy and I pay attention to what's happening in the community. It's really, it's not a labor upon me to work for the committee, that's my job. So there's no apology necessary, but I do appreciate the concerns that people have for me. I mean that honestly as well. But I think I'm certainly not stressed about it, if I can put it in plain language. I would just like to address the specific issue of moving that grant. The way I understand it is we're moving the grant back. We want to move that grant back to where Treasury is moving it from. So in other words,
let me clarify what happened. Before this new division of revenue, this grant was on Schedule 7, which was, according to that division of revenue, I think it's 2012, was a grant in allocation. Yeah, an allocation in kind. Now, I think they have changed that to be a Section 6B, but what they did, they changed the this rural household infrastructure grant to be a 5B. What they told us was that 5B would mean that though the grant will be budgeted through the department, but the department will have no control over it. The department will just be a conduit to send it directly to the municipalities, and the municipalities will have to account for themselves. Now, oh yeah, thanks. Now we said no, the municipalities are not ready for the grant, so the status quo must remain. Now the status quo meant that it should be Schedule 7.
Schedule 6B.
No, I'm just talking about the health. I want you to assist me with the health.
Yeah,
originally it was 7.
Yeah.
But they changed it to 5B. Now, the committee said, no, it must go back to the original schedule. Now that schedule, they say now it's no longer 7, it is 6B. But everything is the same, but 6B means that the responsibility will remain with the department for the expenditure until sufficient infrastructure for administration has been done with the municipalities. So now the issue is, how do we go about it?
Thank you, Chair. The three processes that I would like to outline for the committee. The first process is, of course, Section 9 of the Money Bills Amendment Procedure, which deals with the passing of the Division of Revenue. Specifically, Section 6A to subsection 6A to C. Subsection 6A to C provides in detail what the report of this committee must look like when it proposes an amendment to the Division of Revenue Bill. It says in 6A, the report of the respective committees on appropriation must indicate whether the effects of the proposed amendments on the total national, provincial and local government equitable and conditional grant allocations in terms of the Division of Revenue Bill are consistent with the fiscal framework. Now that specific revision I don't see as too problematic, because we're merely moving it from one area of division to another area of division. So the fiscal framework should remain the same. We're not even moving it from, or are we moving it from provincial to local?
Yeah.
But there's still a conduit function that the Department of Human Settlements will have to follow, and it's still in the Department of Human Settlements budget. But possibly the performance indicators will have to come from local government, as I understand it. But be that as may, I think that provision, one will have to include it in the report, so one will have to adopt the report. So that's the one point. Subsection 6B says the committee must motivate the amendments in terms of service delivery improvements. I just want to say that must also be in the report, and I'll get back to that now because that's going to affect what I have to say about the Constitution. And then the third requirement in the Money Bill Act, it was said, was demonstrate that the impact of the amendments has been taken into account in respect of service delivery obligations of all affected departments, provinces and local governments. So there one needs to maybe unpack that a little bit. It looks like there's more details required in terms of service delivery, but especially how will that service delivery impact at the various levels, various spheres of government and each department in those spheres. So at least I would suggest some kind of contemplation of input from affected departments or affected spheres of government. Let me put that as the first part of the Money Bill Amendment Procedure issue. The second part, of course, as we are well aware of here, is that the Minister must be given, the Minister of Finance must be given an opportunity to respond. And the Act requires that he give at least 3 days before the submission of the report. And the submission of the report in parliamentary terms happens when you ATC a report, when you submit it to your report. So 3 days prior to the ATC, I would suggest that at least inform the Minister of Finance and allow him to respond. That being said, my reading of the Act or my interpretation of the Act, if the Minister chooses to respond within 1 day, then one can go ahead because the substantive meaning of that provision has been fulfilled. Then you don't have to wait 3 days. The Act says you must give the Minister at least 3 days. The committee can choose to give him 5 days, but not less than 3. But if the Minister has responded and indicated that that is his response, then that 3-day period falls away. That's my interpretation. That's the first issue, Honourable Chair, which we must take into account. In short, we need to amend the report, include those 3 things, and then follow the procedure of consultation with the Minister. And then the Act requires that the responses from the Minister is included in the report. Chair, the second process, and I know we are working in tight time frames when we do the budget in Parliament. So I want to take this opportunity, I'll address the Constitution last. I should do this first, but for my reasons I will address it last. The second point is, when the committee decides to amend the bill, of course we must make an A list, which is relatively easy as far as I understand the amendments, but then we need to make a B version of this bill, which will have to go through a printing process, and that could be done possibly overnight. However, there is a person in office who takes care of all this, and you're probably not aware of him, Mr. Neil Bell. So I can get some input from Mr. Neil Bell. How long will it take to get to a B version of the bill? The reason I'm saying that is the parliamentary rules require that the B version serves before the committee when it adopts its report. Now, not all committees follow that in practice, but that's what the rules envisage. That the committee has a report, they adopt the report while looking at their B version of the bill, so that they know that the reversion is correct. So that's procedurally, so what we're looking at is a few days that we need to factor in when we're dealing with this report, both for the Minister's responses, including in the report, as well as the process of amending the bill. Although I think that the all things being equal and all processes running like they should, it will be easier and quicker to change the bill into a B version than to get the Minister's responses and to include that in the report. I think all of that can be done in 3 days, so the process of changing will... Of course, if the Minister disagrees with the amendment, the committee can go forward and still amend, but we must include the Minister's responses in the report. The Minister cannot veto the committee's decision. So I must just say, in practice, of course, it does look a bit strange if we ask for input from the Minister, but in the meantime we go ahead and print the B version of the bill, because that indicates already that we're not persuasive and there's no meaning to the ministers. But that's another story. Let me leave that there. The third issue is the Constitution. Section 26 of the Constitution requires that everyone has the right to have access to adequate housing. Now, adequate housing includes water and sanitation. There's a specific right for water and food, but the sanitation issue, I understand, is part of housing. It forms part of your, how would I say, your baseline, what is adequate housing. And I see even in the report there's a mention of 200 meters away from the house, that's where we want adequate housing. So it falls within that right of section 26. And section 26 says that state must take reasonable legislative and other measures with its available resources to achieve the progressive realization of this right. A very interesting provision, because what it says is that notwithstanding fiscal positions, notwithstanding fluctuation in exchange control or the value of the rand or rating services, what we want to see in South Africa is a progressive realization of a certain number of rights, including the right to housing. Not all rights are subject to it, but housing is, medical services is, education is, etc. So there must be a progressive realization. Now, I took the liberty to read through the submission of the FFC. The FFC seems to indicate on page 3, under point 4, that changing the grant from 6B to 5B is unlikely to improve the performance of this grant. So what I, page 3 at the bottom, yes, under point 4, conclusion and recommendation. That sentence is sort of at the bottom half of that big paragraph. It starts with the commission is of the view. So what I'm reading in that line is that the commission is of the view that this change that the Treasury has effected in the division of revenue bill is not actually giving effect to section 26. They're not actually busy with a progressive realization. Viewed in isolation, I must say. It's not a total finding of the FFC, if I understand it. It's not a total finding on section 26 and whether the Treasury is complying with section 26. I'm just looking at it in isolation. So in isolation, they say, we don't think there's much going to be changed. It's also not a conclusive finding of the FFC. I'm just saying what I'm reading. I'm not saying what the FFC is saying. I'm saying what I'm reading in it. And if one now wants to turn it around again, it then therefore appears that it's, if they are correct, that it's a neutral. Yes, that we're not necessarily going to have a better or worse off situation, but a neutral situation. So that is something that we need to take into consideration. And I would argue that we're not after a neutral situation, we're after a progressive realization. So I don't know what the problem, exact problem is with underspending. That seems to be the gripe, the underspending. And whether it can be fixed by changing that specific grant into a, rather than into a payment in kind, to a direct transfer. Whether that will improve the service delivery, what I'm hearing the committee saying is that, as well as the FFC, we're not convinced that that would happen. We prefer it to remain a payment in kind and address the underspending through whatever the cause of underspending is. Chairperson, that being said, from the constitutional point of view, we just need to include in the report that we are aware of the constitutional provision, that there must be a progressive realization, and that the opinion of the committee is, or the view of the committee is, that such progressive realization cannot be achieved by moving the grant, and therefore it should remain where it is because that's where it's most effective. That's how I understand the submission of FFC. But it would be necessary to show that. Because we must be aware of the constitution when we change even money bills or the division of revenue bill. They do have to comply with certain constitutional provisions. And the constitution is very clear, especially the Bill of Rights, that it applies to all spheres of government and all organs of state. The state must both protect, respect and promote those rights. So it must be a forward-looking approach to these rights. So Chair, that being said, let me leave it there. It's going to take at least 3 days to do the amendments, if you want to factor that into programming effects, and for this committee's process, we'll have to change the report to include the necessary things in both the money bill and the constitution. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable members, any comments? Honourable Singh, Honourable Snell?
Yeah, Chairperson, thank you. Thanks, Chairperson Jenkins. I think the process is very clear. There's no shortcuts to this. It's how strongly we feel as a committee for this to be moved from a 5B as suggested by Treasury to a 6B. It's how strongly we feel about it. Now, I'm a bit surprised here with the approach of Treasury as well, because if you look at MWIC, it's the other way around, where they're asking Department of Water Affairs to control MWIC. And the local government was complaining. Here, they're asking municipalities to take control of big. You know, it's So I think it's how strongly we feel, and I think I was not here during the debate, but I think it seems the committee feels strongly that the Department of National Housing should have a hand over what happens over there, because we know about the lack of capacity in municipalities.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing that we need to do is to say to ourselves that we can't get this thing programmed for Thursday. It's out of the question, right? We need a few more days. We need a minister to respond. Then we table the report on before Monday, by Monday, and you debate it on Tuesday. I don't think it's a trick question. Except that, now I don't know if the budgets that have been tabled in the provinces are dependent on the passing of this, if I understand. We've got to pass DORA for them to have the money there. But some of them are already tabling their provincial budgets, like KwaZulu-Natal. Now, your main source hasn't been, or one of your sources of income has not been approved by National Parliament. It's tabled, not approved. But then over there, they are already considering. So I have to respond to the other part. What is happening, I'm sure Mr. Jenkins will remember from the task team now, Advocate Jenkins. Treasury in the past wanted the division of revenue passed by the end of the financial year, because the main thing is around the conditional grant, so that conditional grants could be utilized. As far as the budget of the provinces are concerned, it's another case, equity share. Now, I think the current minister allowed from last year a precedent where the division of revenue was passed in April. But the previous minister had always insisted that it must pass by the 31st of March. So, but let's hear the other views, Honorable Snap. Thanks, Chair.
See, you mentioned precedence just now, and what I'm concerned about, if we want to set a precedence by sticking to this particular route, I don't think that we I don't think that we have the technical expertise currently to be able to give that analysis as the Act asks for. I also, in my reading of that, of the conditions to the grant, is that the National Department had to monitor on a monthly basis and give technical support to the municipality that the grant was going to be. And I don't think it's specific to this particular grant that when grants are given to provinces or given to municipalities, that there's a lack of supervision on how what service delivery is being achieved out of it. I think it's a broader issue that we need to be able to engage with. I don't know who we engage with, the minister, but I would suggest that we make a recommendation, a strong recommendation, to say that, you know, the view of the committee was ignored, this went ahead, we've got concerns on the impact. See, here the argument that Advocate Jenkins is that the progressive realization of particular rights. Okay. Now, when we have concurrent functions in some of the provinces, some of the provincial budgets, we know 3 years' time, are going to be reduced. Now, there's a particular grant at the moment that's helping to top up those provinces where the numbers have dwindled because of census. Now, do we make an argument in 3 years' time to say that the reduction of those provincial equitable shares are going to have a negative effect on the progressive implementation of certain rights? To me, you can start going into some kind of dangerous to protect a grant. Here they have reduced,
they've reduced, I think, this grant from last year from, what, 436 million or something, yeah, to 106 million this year. Now, there you can argue that there's going to be some kind of impact. But then they've also, I think, they've done analysis to say, look, these municipalities or these provinces are unable historically to be able to spend this money. They can't. This year they're no guarantee that people are going to be able to spend that money either. But I think if we remain vigilant and we hold the head of department accountable to the conditions in that grant chair without us trying to open up a can of worms as far as I'm concerned, because in the few weeks or months time we're going to have the appropriations debate coming. Now, in that particular process we've got a role to play as this committee. Now we're saying that now we're capacitated now to be able to make a decision based on the Act. When those other committees come to us and they say that we must change their budgets, then I say good luck to us. I will avoid
the forecast. Can I be rude with you, with your permission? And to maybe before Honourable Ramatlakane speaks, I just want to, the time is quarter past one. Soon you'll be chiding me. So I just want to make this proposal, Honourable Ramatlakane and colleagues, that look, clearly that process that is set out is tedious. We're not going to achieve it over the next 2 days. Hence, there is Honorable Singh's proposal. My suggestion I wanted to put to you, maybe we might not finish the discussion now. Might finalize it tomorrow. Is to say, we pass this division of revenue as is, but inform colleagues that fact at the NSOP that, look, there is this issue, so that they will have time to do the amendment, follow up everything, because treasury was an agreement, human settlement was an agreement. We asked about the changes. There was common ground on the chair, on the status quo remaining, but now the process requires time. So the suggestion that I'm making, we pass the division of revenue, we ask the colleagues from NSOP to effect the amendment, and then I don't know if I can advocate, if it works like your ordinary, what you call, and then come back to NAA, and then we endorse that. Because for us, we're not going to be able to go through this process now. Honorable Matagane, you have your hand up.
If we don't have capacity, if I can just comment on your statement, where will the NCOP get the capacity to do the analysis that I think Honorable Snell is fearing? My simple understanding is that they would not have a capacity if we don't have a capacity to do the analysis and to respond. So that's my difficulty with that. You see, Chair, when we discuss this matter, it is correct that the Treasury suggested where we should in fact locate this amendment, that it should be not 7 but 6D. That's they put this as a proposal, that they have put the proposal forward. It is up for the committee to decide whether they accept their proposal or not, particularly around this. That's how the lady responded yesterday, Ms. Moore. We gave them the impression that we can't agree with them or disagree with them. And my understanding is that we did say that we're going back to status quo. Now, there's one piece of the puzzle that I was trying to pursue the National Department of Human Settlement to provide to the committee, which is what I think is now the motivation. Now, I think the DG said we were in the process of analysis. We haven't put anything on paper, because I was asking, if they have this objection and they think that because of the capacity problem, the grant is not going to be able to be, municipality is not going to be able to implement it, did they write something to that effect? They said no. They were in the process of analyzing it.
Now, I was saying that little parcel is important because we're going to hit this mountain, this rock. So if we don't have it, the Department of Human Settlement have not prepared any argument that begins to satisfy the act, the provision of the act, we will not independently be able to develop that. What they would have said is a problem that they see in the shift that they say. Because they were talking here about capacity, changing of goalposts as they were trying to implement this, now we're changing again. So the long and short of it is that we don't have this very critical tool that we need to submit to the minister, because the minister must consider the reasons why we say this must be changed. It must deal with the issue about the service questions that we're saying is not going to be able to, including others. We're not going to be able to develop that because that information is not available to the committee itself. We want to change it. We see the need emotionally, but technically, we don't have that capacity. We won't have it tomorrow. Neither the NCOP will have it in a few days' time, unless they collaborate, obviously, with the department to provide that sound, because I think the legislation here is quite detailed on what we need to provide as a motivation. So I would agree, reluctantly agree, because under the circumstances, there's nothing else we can do, is to go the routine and then be ready. The routine chair, I mean, that we adopt it as it is, and then we say we're preparing ourselves for next year for us to be able to have this. Maybe when we talk to the other portfolio committee in terms of portfolio budget, maybe at that point they will be able to have the capacity in collaboration with the department about it. But I think it's not going to be possible this time around. So I would agree with both that maybe we tried our best, but we can see reality that we're not going to be able to develop this detailed stuff. Thanks, yeah.
Should we ask someone assist in getting stronger words here about our feelings, our consent at 6.5, because that the ruler council grant should be an allocation in kind under the 60 of the division of revenue. So that's how we fix. We change this sentence because we thought it was going to go through.
To ask the advocate, because I think the committee, judging from the speech of the minister, has a good relationship with this committee. Shouldn't, if we were to say to the committee, understanding what we have discussed, that the executive move the amendment themselves? In other words, the minister, and he treated it as a technical amendment, because the Treasury do have those powers conferred to them. So that's now out of the formal into the informal, that gives you the same result. I'm just asking the possibility around that. I think this question is both to you and to the architect.
Yeah. Chair, I was going to, we're just talking about the setting. But we really have two options. One is to go ahead with what is on the table and leave it the way it is, but express our concerns, right, as a joint, as collective. Right? And we can each one say why we are concerned. It's underspending, blah, 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 blah. We want the minister to monitor this very carefully and Treasury, right? That's the one option. The second option is to see whether from the bill has been tabled by the minister. Every minister has rights to bring amendments to the bill, even during, you know, when he comes up to speak, he can say, listen, it's happened before, where a minister comes and says, listen, on the basis of recommendations from a committee, who didn't have to follow this rigorous process that we have, but just consultation, I want to move an amendment of that to that. I think that's that is possible. So those are the two options from a check. The one we know is possible, that we pass this but express concern. That's very possible. The second one, the legal people and treasury must check on it. Because if you say they are supporting it, I don't see any reason why then they should not, the minister should not move the amendment.
Advocate Center.
Thank you, Chair. I would suggest that if the minister moves an amendment to this bill, he does it in terms of the rules of the National Assembly rather than the Money Bills Amendment Procedure Act. The Money Bills Amendment Procedure speaks of amendments moved by the minister that's a technical correction. So the minister will have to admit that it was a mistake to put it where it is now and that he wants to move it back. Even under those circumstances, one will have to keep the record pretty tight, simple reason that you don't want to create a precedent that a technical correction is actually quite a substantial change, because it's a substantial change in my reading of that schedule. Different accountability will attach to different accounting officers. So it's a little bit more than just a technical correction, although one could argue, but it would be a very dangerous precedent for ministers to stand up and to change things. Also remember that there's this issue of both the participation by the FFC when it comes to division of revenue and participation by the public at large. So when a minister moves an amendment, that's why we like to make it technical corrections. There's no chance of the public or the FFC to comment on it. It might come out of the blue, catch people off guard, and that's not what the Constitution envisages when it comes to money or any bill. So with that, if the minister wants to move it in terms of the House rules, yes. But even there, we need to make preparations. So one would have to speak to the minister, and the minister would have to speak to the House, because there's certain resolutions that must be moved in the House to get that done. I might just add, Chairperson, that this is not strictly speaking a money bill, although it's treated as such. It's a 76th legislation. Or, in fact, let me adjust that. It is strictly speaking a money bill that's considered in the process of the 76th legislation. It's not the normal money bill 75 procedure. Therefore, it is in this money bill act. So one must certainly, if looking at it from that perspective, it's not inappropriate that the minister moves it or that the NCOP deals with it. Whether the time frames allow for that procedure is something we must find out from the NA table as well, Chair.
I think not, members. We have pressure of time. Now it's almost half past now. But I think that in terms of what Honorable Ramakrishna was raising in terms of capacity, I don't think that we don't have capacity here in Parliament to raise the motivation. I mean, we raise motivation enough. It's just somebody putting it down in writing what we think could be done. But maybe what we should do is to just continue to say, how do we deal with it? Now we have an idea of that. If we change it, we amend it. It's not just a simple, what you call a thing of we comment and then it's amended. Now we understand. But I think that made in consultation with National Treasury, I think we should see if it can be changed at during the NCOP process. I think it can, because for us now, as we don't have time, if you consider what has been said, and the minister takes about another 5 days, you know, more. But the parliament would not like this bill to spend a lot of time with the National Assembly. That's why they give us really 2 days to pass it in. Because they want the Section 76, they want the forum to be with the NCOP. Let's just do some consultations and come back and report tomorrow in terms of the way forward. But it's clear that we ourselves are not going to be able to amend. We can have it in the findings and the recommendations. Colleagues at the NCOP, if it is possible for them to amend, but I think if it is possible for the NCOP, whether it's through the minister or someone to amend, then it be amended, and then we take it from there. Colleagues, we have agreed that we will not reconvene this afternoon, but only tomorrow morning. My request is that, now let us go through these recommendations and findings so that tomorrow we don't spend a lot of time with them. It must be submitted before 12, no? Yeah, for the 80th tomorrow. If then we agree, shall we adjourn? Thank you.